We have briefly described the logical structure of a CAN node. Let's go to the slide 103 and let's look to the picture that is shown and let's dive more into the details. We clearly see in the upper right part of the slide the transceiver, the CAN controller, and the microcontroller. We said that the transceiver is charged with the voltage conversion and many duties related to the physical interfacing with the two lines of the network, CAN high and CAN low. And we will explain in a minute why it is necessary to have two lines instead only one. We see the CAN controller that is typically a hardware device consisting of custom logic components such as FPGA or custom electronics and memories. We said that the tasks performed by the controller are related to those functions included into the data link layer and those functions that are the highest level ones in the so-called physical layer. Finally, we said that the structure of the node foresees the presence of a microcontroller that can be a general purpose microprocessor or a DSP featuring those functions implemented at the application layer and left to the design of the user. This is the general structure of a CAN node. Let's now look at it closer. In the upper left part of the picture, from right to left, we can see a CPU interface that is nothing but the user port that we have already seen in the past. Reception and the transmission buffers. Those are right the ones that we described in the past used by the user itself. Hardware acceptance filter. We know that it is necessary to have something that verifies if the message that is currently in the network is for the present node or not. This is the reason why that unit is called filtering acceptance. Moreover, it is also obvious that the acceptance process depends on the communicating context, and so this is not definitively fixed hardware component. Maybe it is necessary to slightly modify it. Therefore, in terms of technology, it can be something not carried out in ASIC logic, but in FPGA that, as we know, can be reprogrammed or reconfigured. Then we see a block called the protocol controller. This block is responsible for a set of functions that basically are well known to us. It is only just the case to briefly mention it. For example, bit stuffing. It means that too many bits equal one to the other are not allowed. If more than 5 bits are equal to each other, the sixth one is changed. That is, a commutation is forced just to help to keep the synchronization of the bit time well docked between the sending unit and the receiving unit. We will come back on this issue when we will talk about the physical layer. Encoding, this means well-known baseband codification, Manchester differential, not return to zero, return to zero, not return to zero, inverted, etc. Error detection, that is the implementation of all those policies that allow to detect, sometimes recover from an error, sometimes only signaling it. Frame coding and data encapsulation, all those operations that are related to the preparation of the data that must be exchanged, together with those informations that are necessary for the routing and for the synchronization at message level, for the verification of the checksum or the cyclic redundancy codes, and so on. We have seen in the slide, but we have also said something about this a few minutes ago, that the transmission is performed by using two lines that are called CAN high and CAN low. And we have already talked about dominant and recessive values that travel across these lines. What we didn't mention yet is how those values are obtained in terms of voltages. That is, the logical concept of 0 or 1 is obtained not using absolute voltages, but comparing two values, and in particular by making the difference between them. This is the reason why we say that the transmission in a CAN bus is differential. The comparison is performed by an operational amplifier, and if the value contained on the CAN high line is equal to the value contained in the CAN low, the operational amplifier returns a zero logic signal, that is above a low voltage level, otherwise it returns one. Therefore, to have a dominant value, it is necessary that the two signals in the two lines are equal, and typically the values that are sent when this happens are 2.5 volts. On the contrary, to have a recessive value, either CAN high or CAN low have to be respectively 3.5 volts and 1.5 volts, or vice versa. The CAN standard configuration is depicted in the bottom part of the slide 103. The main important thing is that we will never have either a perfect zero or a perfect 2 volts. This is related to the quality of the common mode reaction ratio of the operational amplifier that performs the comparison of the two lines. However, if we set some thresholds, we can say that below 0.5 volts we have a dominant value, and above 0.9 we will have a recessive one. The figure shows also that the typical velocity we can reach with the CAN bus in this standard is 1 megabit per second or even more at a maximum distance of 40 meters. It is the case to briefly remember what is a common mode reaction ratio in a differential amplifier. That is a metric used to quantify the ability of the device to react common mode signals. It has those that appear simultaneously and in phase at both the inputs of the operational amplifier. An idea differential amplifier would have infinite CMRR, but this is not achievable in practice. High CMRR is required when a differential signal must be amplified in the presence of a possibly large common mode input, such as strong electromagnetic interference. Ideally, a differential amplifier takes voltages V plus and V minus on its two inputs and produces an output that is the product of the gain, the differential gain AD, times the difference of the voltages at the two inputs. However, a real differential amplifier is more conveniently described as a device whose output is equal to the product of the differential gain times the difference of the inputs plus the product of the common mode gain multiplying the average of the voltages present at the inputs. Therefore, the common mode reaction ratio is defined as the ratio between the differential and the common gains, or typically 20 times the decimal logarithm of the same ratio. The CMRR is very important as a specification, since it indicates how much of the common mode signal, that in many cases means the noise, will appear in our measurement. The differential gain should exceed the common mode gain, and in this case we will have a positive number, and the higher the better. It is often important in reducing noise on transmission lines. For example, when measuring the resistance of a thermocouple in a noisy environment, the noise from the environment appears as an offset on both input leads, making it a common mode voltage signal. The CMRR of the measurement instrument will determine the attenuation applied to the offset or to the noise. The slide 104 gives some details about the physical layer of a CAN bus. The picture describes the relationship that exists between the communication speed and the distance we want to reach. Clearly, the bigger is the distance, the lower is the achievable speed. Limits can go from 1 megabit per second, but even more at very short distances, up to 5 kilometers, but with velocities close to 5 kilobit per second. The CAN bus physical layer consists of three sublayers that have been already mentioned: physical signaling, PLS, physical medium attachment, PMA, and medium dependent interface, MDI. The physical signaling layer manages the signal temporization and the synchronization of the bit time windows through the so-called bit stuffing technique that is shown in the picture in slide number 106. The picture clearly shows that every 5 consecutive equal bits a reverse bit is inserted that will be discarded when received to improve the phase synchronization. This consideration can be connected to what we said several paragraphs ago when we talked about the synchronization synchronous. At that epoch, we said that PLL mechanism is present between the sender and the receiver, so as to dock in the destination point the right frequency, the right bit time that is set up in the sending unit. And we said that this could be done through the exchanging of suitable synchronization characters. You remember that we said that a sequence like AAAA is good for making the PLL to work properly, but if some characters are lost or part of them is lost, this sequence could be ambiguous. So it is better to send a sequence like A6A6 to avoid such a kind of problem. But in any case, it is necessary to send a sequence of characters where commutations are quite frequent, because this allow the PLL to work better. And the same concept is at the basis of what we are doing here, because a too long sequence of voltage level that don't change is not suitable with a good recognition of the time bit that has been configured in the transmitting unit. Remaining in the same slide, we can define what is the bit time. The bit time is the time bit window into which the bit has to be sent. The bit time is right equal to the bit rate inverse. That is, if I am transmitting, for example, at 1 megabit per second, the bit time is 1 microsecond. If I am transmitting at 10 megabit per second, the bit time is 100 nanoseconds. In the CAN bus, the time duration of a bit is divided in four intervals. Each one is a suitable multiple of a time quantum quantity, TQ, that is set through a local oscillator. In this case, we split up the bit time into m time quantums, where m can belong to the range 10-17, depending on the components into which the bit time is divided. These components are called synchronization segment, propagation segment, phase segment 1, and phase segment 2. Every one deals with a particular situation that must be managed. The synchronization segment lasts one time quantum, and it is the interval into which commutation edges must be inserted in order to synchronize the nodes which want to communicate onto the network. It is clear that both the receiver and the transmitter nodes know that the synchronization begins when a commutation happens in this segment. The propagation segment is used to limit the presence of errors due to the distance that can exist between the transmitting and the receiving nodes. This segment can last from 1 up to 8 time quantums. If the distance between the nodes is enough to make one of them to erroneously think to have won the arbitration because it samples the network bus line before the other known information arrives, then we use this segment to limit this kind of errors. The maximum amplitude of such a kind of segment is 8 time quantums, and we will come later on examples that will explain exactly how it works. Phase section 1 and phase section 2 are two segments with the same possible duration, that is from 1 up to 8 time quantums. It is in one of these time quantums that the two nodes sample the line to understand who has won the arbitration process, and the time instant in which that happens is called sample point. Usually, the sample point is right in the middle of the two phase sections. However, this is not always true, and we will see why. The phase segments may be shortened, in particular phase segment 1, or lengthened, phase segment 2, if necessary to keep the clocks in synchronization. Bus levels are sampled at the border between the phase segment 1 and the phase segment 2. However, most CAN controllers also provide an option to sample 3 times during a bit. In this case, the sampling occurs on the borders of the two quanta that precede the sampling point, and the result is subject to majority decoding. In slide 107, we see how the propagation segment length logic is conceived. Every node should be able to sample the network and read the bit level within the same bit time. For instance, in case of the arbitration, two nodes must read in the same bit time the eventually present dominant and recessive values put on the bus by the two nodes or by other nodes. In the example shown in the figure, if the propagation delay that bring one of the nodes, for example the node B, to sample after its own sample point, this could make the arbitration useless. In the figure, in fact, we see in blue color the transmitted bit from the node A that arrives to the node B, that is shown in red, after a certain delay. What it is clear is that A thinks that the sampling point is in the moment highlighted by the arrows, but instead, in the real time from the B point of view, the sampling point is at the limit, very close to the end of the phase segment 2. If this should overtake this limit, the arbitration will be completely lose its sense, because A will think that in any case it has won the arbitration and will continue with its transmission even if it has lost instead the arbitration itself. The propagation time to reach the other node is computed by assuming that the bit rate is fixed, and so the connection length shall be limited. That is, delta t for the propagation is 2 times the quantity OD plus bus line D plus ID. OD is the output delay, that is the bit rate at which we can communicate, and this depends on the particular protocol that is used. I mean, if we transmit at 1 megabit per second, this time will be related to how many bits we want to transmit, and clearly the number of the bits depend on what is the real content of the communication that is exchanged, plus those informations that are necessary for managing the routing, the checksum, the destination, and so on. Bus line D is the bus delay that depends on the physical medium used for the communication. Clearly, if we use coaxial cables or optical fibers, the speed that we can have is a little bit different, but typically if the distances are not very high, talking of kilometers, this term is very lower with respect to the others, and even negligible. ID instead stands for the input delay, and it represents the delay of the intelligent unit that is present in the destination point, which is used to process the information that has been arrived, and in other words, represents the time necessary for the acquisition of the information that has been sent to the destination node. The previous picture contains a very clear example. While B is still receiving the bit from A, this one already acknowledged to have won the arbitration, and this could be an error, and this is due to the fact that there is a delay between the two nodes. So the propagation segment can help in such a situation. Let's look how to modify the length of the propagation segment so as to improve or even to avoid the potential problem that we have highlighted. The situation is shown in slide 108, into which we are assuming that the nodes A and B are communicating. At first, A transmits a, for example, recessive level, which is received by B with a delay equal to 3 time quantum due to the distance between the two nodes. We have previously defined the propagation time as twice the time necessary for one node to reach the other one. Better for the information sent by one node to reach the destination point. Therefore, if B transmits a dominant level on its turn, this level must be received from A before A keeps transmitting, since it has thus to be the arbitration winner. Since we have said that the sampling point can be in any time instant between the phase segment 1 and the phase segment 2, then the bit sent by B must arrive before A's PS, before the phase segment of A. This defines the propagation segment length. It has to be twice the number of time quantums that there are between the two communicating nodes. So, the example shows that a propagation segment which lasts 6 time quantum due to the distance existing between A and B is the right duration that avoids to misunderstand the data that have been exchanged between A and B. In conclusion, we doubled the number of the time quantums needed for one node to reach the other in order to limit the presence of the errors. If there weren't the propagation segments in the example, then the node A would have thought to be the arbitration winner and would have kept transmitting, while B were the real arbitration winner and instead, eventually, it stopped because due to the communication error. Or, in other case, even it will continue to transmit with a clear conflict on the shared network. However, the errors can be always deleted. If the propagation time takes more than 8 time quantums, then we can't add any further blocks to limit it, otherwise we will slow down too much the communication.